Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, including Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere you listen to podcasts. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Sex.
Hello.
Nicole, 2023 is here. How was your new year?
It was really good. I spent it with friends in Beverly Hills, and we danced the night away, made out with a girl at midnight. I had a great time.
As I'm sure you're not surprised, I did not make out with a girl at midnight. I have a very different type of New Year's. I went to Las Vegas to visit some friends and ended up at the Silverton Casino, where we just missed the $25 for all you can drink, but that's probably for the best because everybody's waiting in line. So we went to the gift shop, and he got beers. I got little tiny fireballs, and then we snuck into the party there, and it was there's a lot of old folks there. To ring in 2023, let's just put it that way, they played Love Shack by the B-52, so it wasn't, wasn't the hippest party. But right now we have the hippest party because we have a guest, and you know, Nicole, it's the new year, and people said, 2022 was great on the show. I don't know. What feedback did you get for 2022?
Everybody seemed to like it. And a lot more of my readers listened to the show last year than previously.
That's great. And I'll tell you what feedback I got. People loved it. And people were telling me about specific different shows. They loved the top 12. They loved little specific moments. But here's what I was told by quite a few people. More fetish. More wild stuff and more just crazy people.
Okay.
The vintage Dark Mark show, the crazy stuff. They want more fire. They want more spanking. They want more S&M and they want more fetish. And in that
vein. Can't go wrong with that.
Well, in that vein, I have one of our favorite guests. And this is somebody that came back as a co-host in 2020. So you never met this woman, but where do you meet her? Because she's been everything. She was here just here for X-Biz. She's a model. She's an escort. She's an adult film star. And she is a wine connoisseur. And she has been doing everything dirty you can imagine. And now is going to be transferring her charisma over to the mainstream. And I think she's going to break a big because I adore her and she's never looked lovelier. It's Casey T Girl.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Casey. I haven't seen you since before the pandemic, but the one thing I got to say about Twitter, because everybody's bitching about Twitter, the one thing I love about Twitter is that I hear from you, you comment, and you like a lot of stuff I post, and you wish me a happy birthday. So every time I get a Twitter thing, I say, is that from Casey T Girl? And if it's not, I just dispose of it. If it is, it makes me smile.
Cool. We go way back. I couldn't remember today. What was the name of the guy who hosted the show we were on in Vegas together that first time? Do you remember?
I don't remember his name, but I can pull it up real quick because he's one of your Twitter friends, and so he's one of our few mutual Twitter friends. Nicole, Casey, tell Nicole the story about how we met and how crazy that show was, and I'll get the guy's name.
Oh yeah, and they taped it in the upstairs portion of a gentleman's club there in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Jasmine Lafleur, another porn person and a good friend of mine from Vegas, she recommended I try and get on the show with this gentleman. And I'm picturing him because he kind of got a wild look. And we were upstairs there and he had on this girl who kept falling asleep during the taping. I remember that. It was just the weirdest thing. But that's where I met Mark, a Dark Mark, and it was a great time. And it always struck me. I can never forget. Like, I pull up into the parking lot, and it's a gentleman's club, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. But then we just went upstairs into the mezzanine, and this guy, and I'm trying to remember his co-host.
Harley Fire.
Yes.
Harley Fire.
Harley Fire, who I believe actually in his past had actually been a porn performer, I think, and producer, if I recall. It's been a while. It might be 7-8 years, if I recall,
I think it was 2018, if I recall correctly. So it was it's coming on 5 years, but Harley Fire, and I'm on his Twitter page now, Industry X Radio, on my quest to be the new George Hamilton, runner-up for the Tannis Man in Vegas, photography and producer, loves to make you laugh. Nicole, this guy taped a show at, was it Club, it wasn't Club Paradise, was it? It was like the biggest gentleman's club, I'm trying to think, because I did a comedy show there. So they have a podcast booth upstairs in the VIP room. So I'm a guest, Casey T Girl's a guest, and there are two porn stars that drove from LA. This is when I still lived in Las Vegas, so it might have been 2017. And the two porn stars, I don't know, I don't know what caused it, but they were fast asleep on the couch. So he had to deal with me and Casey T Girl, and we just hit it off, and we saw the show. And this guy was like, at the time, and he's older now, but he was like in his late 50s, but he was like a biker guy.
Okay.
Our host was like a white homeboy. So he got, hey, it's Harley Fire. And then the guy's like, yo, 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 yo. And then me and Casey, it was the funniest thing. And then two girls sleeping on the couch. It was so great.
Yes, I remember his co-host. That I was picturing him, but that's right. That was his shtick. He was just kind of like a white boy, but he had this, like you said, yo, yo, yo. And
I called him out every time he would like say, you know, yo, man, that's dope. I would like totally like bag on the guy for talking like that. But yeah, that was a fun show. Yeah, he probably was a porn star. Who knows? Porn stars and classic rock stars all retire to Las Vegas. Now, are you in love? Right, Nicole?
Yeah.
Okay, so are you in Las Vegas or are you in Los Angeles? Where are you at?
I'm in Los Angeles. I am based here. I've actually been here for now over 13 years. I lived in Nashville for a little while. Before I was there, I was in Los Angeles again, but I've been here, based here for forever, it seems like. And it's funny you were mentioning, I think you mentioned X-Biz. You said the word X-Biz earlier. I wasn't sure if you were referring to the actual X-Biz convention, which is here in town right now. I was there yesterday.
See, I saw that. I was looking at those tweets, and I wanted to ask you about that. How has X-Biz been so far?
It's been great. It just started. It's kind of an odd thing because it really is the X-Biz industry. It's a bunch of tech guys who are programmers and, you know, the people behind the pay platforms. And then there's also porn stars running around. So you have this mix of total business people who are investors, and so to speak. And then you have the performers and content creators and the directors. Sure. So like you're sitting in this seminar and they're talking about, you know, how Visa is and MasterCard will affect the business in the future. And then on the one room over, they have the X-Biz Awards this weekend. They have a panel of X-Biz porn stars who are nominated for awards. So it's just this really odd mix.
So it's not like the AVN, because AVN is kind of like a party. This is like, we're down to business.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is the first time in a long time AVNs were the weekend before X-Biz. So all these porn people had to go to Vegas and just go crazy, because they all go crazy and they get what they call the AVN flu, and because they all come back sick and tired because they've been partying and filming together.
Well, that's called syphilis, but
oh yeah, I know. There was a lot of drama there this year too. Every year, awards, there's drama.
What kind of drama?
Everyone slighted. You know, when I worked in Hollywood in the regular mainstream industry. The DGA, they used to have some of them on their desks, the people who worked at the union there, keep the resentment level down. And it's very much the same in this industry, where everyone's resenting what someone else gets. Oh boy, they put the wrong photo up during the awards for the nominations. And the person goes on a Twitter screed for at least half a day how they were slighted. They didn't have the right photo up there.
Now, did they get your photos right?
I was not nominated for an AVN award, but I've been nominated for a TEA, which is a Transgender Erotica Awards, which is basically the trans porn award show, which happens every March here in LA. So I think I've been nominated there 3 times, and luckily, knock on wood, they have always gotten my photo and name right. You would love the category I was in too, Miss Unique.
Miss Unique.
Miss Unique, which is really the catch-all for, we wanted to give you an award for something, but we really weren't sure what to, so we'll just put you in this unique category.
Casey, you are an unclassifiable T-girl. They don't know what to do with you.
Oh, yeah. I'll take that.
Nicole, we got to go to these T-girl awards.
For sure. It sounds like a blast.
Oh, man. We should do a podcast from there. That'd be great. I'm going to contact them and try to do a live show there.
Okay, cool.
If you want to, definitely. I was just yesterday. The reason I went to XBiz yesterday, even though it was raining and cold here in LA, is because Stephen Groovy, who's in charge of Groovy Productions, which is the T-Girl producer, he's been doing it for 26 years. And if you think about it, to be in the porn industry for 26 years as a successful producer through the changes of the internet and so forth, they're established. Right. And anyway, he was there because they had a panel discussion on... Because we were like the little pocket at the XBiz. The trans niche is just this little pocket. It's a growing portion of it, but it's a small portion of it. And so they did the transgender roundtable and, you know, issues in trans porn. So Stephen, I will hook you up with him, or Crystal, his right-hand girl. And, you know, they will definitely, they love coverage. They love having that kind of stuff.
Great. I love it.
It's a lot of fun. What's really fun, actually, is the pre-party, because they do a weekend. And so they have a pre-party the night before the awards. So everyone flies into LA, all the T-girls from all over the country, and trans men, I should say. It's both trans men, trans women. And people get lit, and then there's a lot of groping, and they do the step and repeat board, you know, for the photographs. And then, of course, as everyone's drinking, they get looser and looser, and the photos in front of the step and repeat board get, you know, crazier and crazier.
Nice. Okay.
What's the craziest thing that happened to you at that at those awards?
Oh, there was this Marina Black. I'll never forget her. She's, God rest her soul, unfortunately, she's passed away. She's a younger T-girl porn performer, she was. And I never met her in person, Twitter, you get a lot of acquaintances. Twitter is the water cooler of the porn world.
Right.
We don't see each other. We all work singularly, you know, especially now with the OnlyFans era. But it's
you don't fuck each other. You don't see each other. But
yeah. So on Twitter, you get to know people and then you finally meet them. So I'm there, you know, at the pre-party. And Marina comes up from behind me. And again, I've had contact with her via Twitter. Mm-hmm. And she just starts groping me. And not in a sensual way. Not a dirty way at start.
Right.
And she's just groping my ass and hugging on me. and saying how much she wants to do me and so forth. And it was, again, because she's very sweet. She was very sweet. But it was just that thing where, man, this girl is, and again, I'm probably at that time, I'm probably 20 years older than she was.
Right.
And to have her just, you know, from our Twitter acquaintance wanting to just get all over me, it was pretty wild.
That's awesome.
Well, I gotta tell you, go ahead, Nicole.
I said that's very flattering.
You've never looked better, Casey. I don't know what's going on. You look younger, better now than you did 5 years ago.
Thank you.
You look good then.
I want to mention,
I think it's the hair.
Thank you. I want to mention about the TEA awards too, is because this is someone you know, or at least you went on her radio show, online radio show, Kimber Haven.
Oh yeah.
Way back when I connected you two. And every year at the TEA awards, they actually rent a house, and they call it the tranny house. And they have girls stay there and they do filming all weekend long, where they do like gang scenes, you know, group scenes, individual scenes. They always make sure they have a pool. And so it's just this nonstop weekend of them filming twosomes and threesomes and foursomes, fivesomes. And it's just a weekend for them of filming and, you know, you could say debauchery, but because they'll do it also outside of the filming. So it's just this kind of, they call it the tranny house.
Yeah. What's the practical way to have a fivesome? Like, does somebody just watch? Like, well, how does that work?
Lots of triangles and squares. and it's, you
is
know.
Is it like the human centipede or what?
Oh, what do they call? Oh, I'm trying to remember. There's a term for
daisy chain.
Re-lined up. I'm trying to remember. Well, then of course there's the circle jerk. Of course, you know.
Right, yeah, I've seen those. Like I saw a weird Swedish one once where it was like hot milf gets done by like 8 dudes. So it wasn't really the sex. It was just a bunch of people like jerking off around her, and then like one guy doing her.
So you weren't the bullseye in the circle jerk.
Me, I was not the circle. I was not the.
No, bullseye. I said Nicole. What was it? The bullseye in the circle jerk. Oh. You saw it on a movie.
I saw it on YouPorn.
I always remember this scene from. It wasn't at Tranny House, but there. It was an underwater scene where they had an underwater camera. All these T girls were in the pool, and there was a twink guy, and he had these like those swimming goggles on. They're very small ones, like swimmers wear, and he was underwater floating. And giving a blowjob to the T-girls underwater, and they had an underwater camera crew filming it. It's just wild. And again, there had to be at least in this scene 6-8 T-girls in the pool at the time.
Wow.
That's good. Good. You know, that should be an Olympic sport.
I was going to say that definitely should have won an award for sure. Like that's some James Cameron type work right there.
Yeah, funny you should mention that. I remember reading Kate Winslet's set the record for holding her breath underwater because she was an avatar too.
Okay.
But I think this guy probably beat it, but they don't want to say it, so they don't want it yet. Sounds like he was down there for more than 8 minutes. I don't know.
For sure.
And by the way, Nicole, as you can see how fun Casey is, but I think she's trying to get me in the scene. I think that's what's happening here.
Oh, what kind of scene would Mark be in? Like, even if you're not interested, I'm curious what you would cast Mark in.
If you were to cast me, what would you cast me in?
Mark, unfortunately, you're a total cuck. Total cuck.
Why is that unfortunately? That's nothing bad about that.
Oh, okay. Well, because see, sometimes a lot of the T-girls in porn are quite tall and large. I mean, I'm 5'8" without heels, and I'll go to these award shows. I'm just amazed. They're like, you know, like Kimber Haven, for example. She's probably 6'1", 6'2". She was an MMA. But I'm not sure if she's a pro MMA fighter, but she definitely was an amateur MMA fighter. So there's so many of these other girls, 6'2", 6'3", you know, tall, big T-girl. So you would definitely, because how tall are you? Are you 6 foot?
Yeah, 6 foot. Just there 6 foot. So I'm losing weight, so I'm getting more twink as I go along. But so I guess these girls overpower me. But funny you should say that, Kate, because the first time I went to ABN was 2016. And every trans porn star I ran across hit on me hard. No women. A couple guys. But every trans woman just... I had one, and I will not name her, but she's lovely. And she's like, you know, God, I'm so horny. I love coming to the Hard Rock because I just love taking a guy out to the parking lot and sucking his dick. And she's telling me this. And I'm like, I was like, she's really cute. I don't know.
Should have took her up on it.
I was like, you know, I'm not doing it to her. She's doing it to me. And then I was like, okay, well, she's horny. She's flirting with me. But like, I was there 3 days, like every day, like more and more would just like, they wanted to hang out with me and walk around with me. And it was weird because I never know where I stand. I know that guys find me attractive. I know most women do not find me attractive. I don't know where I stand in the trans community. But I know it's subjective.
Did you have the facial hair at the time?
I did.
You can see a lot of T-girls, they like, I call hairy bears. Guys.
Right, hairy bears, yeah.
Hairy bears. There's a definite strain of T-girls that are into hairy bears.
Plus, you got like those strong Italian features, like, you know, you got the intense eyes, but you also have a nose that suggests you probably have a large penis. So,
well, thank you, Nicole. That's the first time you ever suggested I had a large penis. And by the way, speaking of penises, this is a good time to break because we have a couple sponsors. One of them is this right here that I've been drinking, Raise Energy Drink. This is the best. I got to stay awake because I don't want to miss a thing with Casey, but this is the best. Raise Energy Drink. This is the Baja Blast. It's my favorite flavor. Tastes like, or it's Baja Lime. It tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell. The best part of Raise Energy Drink, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. It's delicious. And you go to the description in the podcast catcher, you can get 10% off Ray's energy drink off a case using our code. And you were talking about penises. And, you know, Casey, you've been all with all sorts of penises. Some of them are ready to go. Some of them need a little help. And some of them can't get started. The ones that can't get started, we've got the solution for you. Eddie by Giddy. Eddie by Giddy is a device that you use to get blood flowing where you need it the most. Some people that have problems, they use it once, cure. Some people, they use it every time, no problem. It's the solution. It's not, there's no pills you have to take. And I've seen the reviews and it works. So that's another thing. You go down the podcast description on any podcast catcher, or, and I'm going to put this on the Renegade Radio description as well, or on YouTube, use our code, DarkMark, and get 20% off Eddie by Giddy and make the woman, man, T-girl, or whatever gender happy, because blood's flowing where you need it the most, and you can go all day, and you can get into some fivesomes too. So, Casey, that's that. But
hey, let now, me can I break in here?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's it. Well, yeah.
It's interesting. Talking about the sex work I do with in-person clientele, I have a lot of older gentlemen because I'm a mature T-girl, and so I definitely attract a lot of mature men. And there's a good chunk of them that can have trouble getting hard and erect, so they would love it, and I would love it too, because I could tell you, when you're trying to get someone off and you can't get them hard, it then really truly becomes sex work. Because you're working and working and trying to get it done, and you're like trying every trick in the book, and you're thinking, oh gosh, is this going to happen? Am I ever going to move on to the next part of my life after this? So it'd be nice to have a...
Last year, I was dating a guy and I was trying to give him a blowjob, and it just took like forever because we had been out drinking a lot and it just wasn't flowing right. And, you know, sometimes a guy needs a little help.
And if you have Eddie by Giddy, you don't have to worry about it. It'll, trust me, it fits right, and boom, there you go. Now, Casey, now that you open a Pandora's box, so that happens a lot. Now, do you like older men? I mean, in your, I know that people are fantasizing about you all over the place. What kind of man or woman or whatever are you into?
I am pansexual.
You're into everything.
T-girls, cis men, cis women. I've actually been, Eddie Wood, who I just saw yesterday, who's a trans man.
Funny you should mention him. I was going to bring him up. We were supposed to do a show last year. Unfortunately, he got sick, but I love Eddie Wood. Eddie Wood's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. He's doing well. I saw him yesterday at the X-Biz Awards, and I always remember my first scene I shot with him, because we were in Vegas and it was on Easter Sunday. I forget what year it was. And we were in the, I think it was the Stratosphere. I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to remember now if it was the Luxor or the Stratosphere. So I'm trying to remember, was it the pyramid or was it the phallic symbol? I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the two.
Yeah.
We shot with him and Kristen Craves, T-girl, a good friend of mine. And so, it was my first interaction with a trans man. So it was just wild, you know.
Really? And this was just last year?
Oh, no, this was Easter pre-pandemic. I can't even, a long time ago.
Let me just explain to Nicole and my audience. I think we've brought Eddie up before, and we want to have him on the podcast. And I've been reaching out to him. Actually, what would be great, maybe February or March, have you and Eddie in the studio. That would be fantastic. We'll talk about that. But Eddie is a female to male, but he still has his vagina.
Okay.
So he's a guy that has a vagina, and you are a woman that has a penis. So you guys had straight vanilla penis into vagina sex, apparently.
Yep, and it was a threesome because we had trans girl Kristen Craves there as well. This is the fun part too about it, because we did the old, because you always have to have a setup, and it was he had his stepmom and I was her sister, so it was, you know, stepmom and T-girl auntie take advantage of trans man.
Okay, wait a second, I'm typing that in right now. T-girl and trans auntie taking advantage of team.
And it was funny because, you know, we had our dialogue and everything, and we had a title. There was something like, you know, T-Mills take advantage of trans man stepson or something like that.
Right.
And then when I went to post it onto different video sites, they actually at times would, they banned any type of even faux incest. So for, even if it's step, you know, the step relation, so to speak, stepson, stepdaughter, they don't allow it. And so I submitted it at times to different websites and platforms, and it would get rejected.
Right.
So then I had to go back and edit it, almost like doing like a, you know, overdubs. And so, because there wasn't a lot of dialogue, but anytime there was any reference to auntie or stepmommy or anything like that, I had to dub it out.
Right. Wow.
So the lips would be moving just like in those, you know, those old Godzilla movies, but nothing out of their mouths.
No, so it's like a Bruce Lee movie, except you're beating up that pussy.
Of a guy.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Now let me ask you, because you're in the industry, and I don't watch a lot of, I don't watch a lot of porn. I watch apparently Nicole watches more porn than I do, but
the fair share.
And you know, I like to jerk off to Lifetime movies and things like that. But why is every porn movie like incest now?
I have noticed that. I was going to ask the same question. I'm all, what's up with that? Like, is it a fetish that people are really into?
They really, I mean, I'm into crazy stuff, but I don't want to fuck my aunt. I mean, what is this?
There's so much of it. I think it's fantasy. That's, you know, that's a big part of it. It's the taboo fantasy thing.
Right.
You know, a lot of times it's the age thing more than it is the relationship thing. So it's a conceit to get into, like, you know, younger boy, older woman, vice versa.
And I like that. I like the age gap thing. And I date older women. And so I understand that. And I date younger women. So I'm like, right, you know, not a middle age, but I date older and younger women. I when I was in Vegas, when I met you, I was dating a 67-year-old and a 28-year-old. So I like the age gap. But does it have to be mommy and daddy? I mean, to me, that's kind of gross.
Well, it's a little gross to me too.
Me too. And one of the things I've learned though also over the years is what turns somebody on, because the mind is the greatest sexual organ, of course. You never know. I've had guys who wanted to lick my armpits. That's, you know, that's what I've had.
How do they taste?
Well, I think they taste delicious myself. Everything about me tastes delicious. There's your promo plug for KCT girl sex worker.
That's going into TikTok reel. I'm telling you.
So I never question what turns somebody on. Armpits. Why is someone attracted to big boobs? Why are they attracted to feet? Why are they turned on by butthole? Why are they turned on by faux incest stuff? Why ball bust? Now that's something I was thinking about this as I was thinking about coming on here. Something I don't think I could ever engage in is some people, because I get this one guy who's tried to get me, and he's not for real, but he says he wants me to kick him in the balls.
That's a fetish. No, that's all over the porn site.
Yeah.
And I could never do
that. I saw a guy get his balls stapled to a railing in real life. Like that was I was at a fetish show, and like he was like getting, they did terrible things to his balls, and then they stapled like the grundle, I don't know what you call that, the little sack. They stapled the sack to the railing. I was just like, that would hurt so much. But he was like loving it.
So you've never busted anybody's balls?
No, some people refer to it as CBT, cock ball torture.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'd love to do a survey of my T girl friends, because think about it. We know what it's like to have that plumbing and that apparatus.
Right.
I wonder how many of them shy away from it like I do just because of that, you know, because I've had, they want me to crush them, kick them, step on them, torture them in some way.
Go on.
And so I don't think I could engage in that because I know viscerally
how painful it is.
How painful.
Yeah, it's a very sensitive area. Like, I wouldn't want that. The closest thing I can imagine is if someone like stapled my nipples to something.
Well, now you're talking, but
something else about CBT. One time, because I get emails all the time, fantasy emails. People, you know, say they want this and that. And one time, it was in the headline of the subject line. It said, "Are you into CBT?" And I first thought, coffee bean and tea leaf?
or they misspelled CBD or something.
Exactly. You'll like this too. This time of year, we just passed it, is a time for me when there's a bunch of college kids and dads with too much time on their hands with their family and they can't escape. And it's when I get all of the fantasy inquiries from both via email and phone calls, because it's a mm-hmm. Sunday between, like, let's say Christmas and New Year's. They're mm-hmm. bored, they're horny, they're on the internet, and they contact me with their fantasy. I want to spend a weekend with you on the Central Coast. I want to come over and have you dress me up and turn me into a sissy. So it's just every single email I get and call, I just know, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Another bored dad or kid with too much family time over the holidays.
Right. No, I was going to mention this because I was watching one of our old shows and you had mentioned this. And I thought that, and Nicole has had a similar experience. A lot of guys want you to they want you to dress them, or they want to dress you up. They want to take you shopping. A lot of guys want to shop with you.
Oh, I have girlfriends in the industry who are FinDom, you know, financial domination, and they're mm-hmm. good at it. And I'm not good at it. I'm not great about asking for money. And I discovered that a while ago. But some of them, they have it down to a science, and they can get guys, take them out shopping, take them on trips, drain their bank accounts by, you know, basically dominating them over the phone or sext or email. At FinDom, those who do it well, I see some of my girlfriends on Twitter, and they basically, you know, they're coming back from a shopping spree and they got a nice Chanel bag and matching shoes. FinDom is its own thing.
But when I don't really have that as a skill. Like, I'm bad at sales in general, especially selling myself. But I did have one fan who took me shopping, also brought with them from, they were from Georgia. They brought with them two different cases of expensive perfume. And then they bought $300 worth of my books. Like, I had a box full of books. And I'm like, I'm going to take the whole thing. Like, they just came out here basically to meet me and spend money on me. Like, they had just been waiting to, like, take care of me, I guess.
Wait, they didn't just buy your perfume. They bought you a case of perfume.
They got me two perfumes. I can't remember what they were, but they were like Ralph Lauren or something like that, you know, some nice perfume. And then they bought a case of my books. Like, they bought all the books I had left on me. And they're like, the only thing is you have to kiss every once. So I put on lipstick and kissed the inside.
Oh yeah. Well, I get the inquiry.
Oh, I get these fans. I guess at AVN, at the T-Girls at the AVN. What were you going to say, Casey?
I always get inquiries about selling my panties, my socks, my mm-hmm. stockings, my bra.
The dirtier the better, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The smelly socks, the smelly panties. Not that you smell, but, you know.
Well, I actually also, because like on many vids, for example, I have some items for sale on there. And, you know, you have options. And one of them is, you know, it's the option they can check is with pussy juice. And, you know, they pay extra to get them with, you know, in my case, it's cum, or in the case of a cis girl, you know, it's going to be some from their pussy, juices from their pussy. So, you know, there's all those options on there. There's with a note, there's with perfume on them, and you get the different options. I've sold my shoes. You have to be willing to make a lot of trips to the post office if you're going to do that kind of thing.
Right. It's eBay or many vids. I understand. But now, so you sell, you come in your panties and sell them.
Oh, yeah.
And how much extra is that?
I'm trying to think. I feel like it's like, I think I have, I'm pretty inexpensive. I think it's $25 for the pussy juice on the panties, if I recall. Like I said, I got tired of taking the trips to the post office because we all know what fun it is to go to the post office.
Sure.
So I was like, okay, is it really worth the money I'm making? Sometimes I'll do that too. I'll just jack the price way up. Like, I was doing phone sex for a while.
No pun intended.
I was doing phone sex for a while and I got a little burned out on it. So I cut back, but then I just jacked my price up, my per minute cost to like, I used to be at like $4.99 a minute. And I went up to $9.99. And of course, this is before the platform takes its cut. So they take like 65%. You get 35%.
It's a job, Nicole. It's a full-time job.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And actually, the first time Casey was on the show, I believe, if I recall correctly, you you gave me an example of your phone voice and turned me on.
Oh, yeah. My favorite actually is talking to guys from the UK because the lingo is different. I had one gentleman, he says, "Dear, are you into frottage?" I'm like, "I don't know. What is frottage?" He goes, "Rubbing penises together." I said, "Oh, sword fighting. Yeah, I can do sword fighting." I learned that frottage is actually, frottage, is actually rubbing any genitalia together is frottage.
Frottage. I learned something new.
Yeah, frottage means sword fighting. I've heard about sword fighting, but.
And you'll get from, because they'll be like, "Do you like to take it in the bum, dear?" "Oh, of course."
"What a lovely bum you have."
Oh, the English are so repressed. You get a lot of the quirky, fetishy calls from England. Definitely right. About that. Guys, his one fantasy, I'm always fucking him in the phone sex. I'm fucking him in front of his wife, and humiliating him while she's watching. You know, those are a lot of those from the UK.
Right. Oh, well, I guess the housewives are got, they got a bed pack over there. They just... they really need, and they want you to abuse them more.
That, and the one that I get a little uncomfortable with is race play. Race play is a tough one for me.
Right. No, I've heard other people say that. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, call me the N-word. Call me the.
I couldn't do that. Literally have never said the N-word once in my life.
Yeah, I mean. I could do that, but it would just sound really weird. It's like I was telling Nicole today, I had somebody, it was a wrong number, and he hung up on me. But before he hung up on me, he threatened to stick his white supremacist dog on me. And he didn't know I was white, apparently. That was the craziest thing. But I was going to say, Casey, going back to the shopping, because there's a lot of guys that want to cross-dress or have that inclination. And they go shopping with you and dress you up to help their fantasy.
Well, here, I'll give you a real life one that was a little bit of a twist. I had a client out here, long time client. I'd see him about once or twice a year, go out to the Ventura County area to see him. Mm-hmm. And it's always around holidays. And for years, he'd always ask me, about, he'd want to buy me a dress or some clothing before I came over to give me as a present. What size pants, what size dress do you wear and so forth. And, I loved it. I'm like, oh, I'm getting this nice clothing and perfume. And then finally, after about 6 years of this, it ended up that he liked to cross dress. And he didn't have the confidence or what's wrong. He was too, I don't want to say timid or whatever. He didn't want to tell me about it, and it took these 6 or 7 years for this to happen. And I realized, what it was that I gave him the excuse to go into the women's department of the department store and shop for me, even though it was giving him the thrill of shopping. So it was a very sweet gentleman. I love him to death. And hey, if you're listening to this, if you haven't seen each other yet this holiday season, hon, give me a call.
He sounds very nice.
Oh. Recall, but Nicole, the reason I brought that up is I remember that from the first show. I didn't remember. I actually watched the first show again. But you have a couple friends like that.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
You tell me that there's a couple guys. Yeah, there's a couple friends.
Okay. Yeah,
that
I don't want to mention any names. It took me a second,
I'm not mentioning any names, but there's a couple friends that like to go shopping with you.
Yes, I have a close friend who he likes to accessorize me and like dress me up, and like he helps do my hair, like he's bleached my hair for me before, and like he's straight, but he's got that little bit of a lean where he likes the he'll wear a dress around the house. So
and it's funny,
what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
what 99.9% of the gentlemen I meet with are straight. They are trans women. But they are straight. I think maybe there was one time where I met with this gentleman, and he immediately just wanted me to, like, he's like, "Take off all your clothes." He wanted me to take my makeup off, where I said I wasn't comfortable with it, because he really, it was almost like his excuse to be with me, the male part of me, was to, you know, without shame or whatever, was to call a T-girl, meet with her, and then really just almost try and transition me back, so to speak, so that he would end with a male, so to speak.
He was at the guys, but apparently he was too timid to actually go up to a guy, and he would go up to a woman, and then turn him back to a guy.
Because again,
genders are so confusing these days.
I have to talk down a lot of first timers who, you know, because again, they're straight. They don't look at men in any way, but they see a T-girl and they're attracted. And it just mentally, it really plays, because again, the societal norms and conditioning plays with them, their mind, you know. So I've done the speech about, you know, it's just because you're doing something that's quote term gay doesn't make you gay. And talk them down and basically get them to be comfortable and give them a safe space to explore their fantasy. That's probably the, you know, Jasmine LaFleur, who I mentioned before, she one time said to me, she goes, so much of sex work is therapy. It's a, you know, you're like a psychotherapist sometimes with your
clients. Almost all of it. And I mean, as far as your personal transition, I mean, you're probably the best, you know, sex workers like you are probably the best people to go to, because you had your struggles with that when you and you're I'm trying to think of a very classy way to say this, because when you transitioned, it was it wasn't as accepted as it was now. It was a whole different time.
Oh yeah, you know, we've made leaps and, you know, leaps and bounds. There's still things to do, but yeah, as I was doing it, you know, because I'm pretty sure that RuPaul's drag queen show wasn't the thing yet. I don't think that had even happened yet.
He was still singing Supermodel, or she was still singing Supermodel, and yeah.
Now I have, you know, we could do a whole show sometime on how about, you know, my, I want to say, issue with how basically, you know, drag culture has been conflated with trans culture. It was like this easy way in. It was kind of very easy, non-threatening, you know, through that show and so forth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like here in Los Angeles, for example, I mean, so much of the drag culture has been and was gay men who like to do drag culture. They're not trans at all. They want nothing to do with, some of them want nothing to do with trans women. And so I kind of, you know, and it's funny, I kind of saw this coming down the road, I thought, because there was so much emphasis on kind of like trans and drag conflating it and, you know, the acceptability through the drag shows. But I said, that's going to get turned against us. At some point, they're going to, and as we've seen recently, it's definitely been, you know, now it's become an easy target. I know drag queen gay men who don't, they think trans women are dirty, they don't like us, they want nothing to do with us. And there are those who love us. But, you know, that conflation just, it drove me nuts. And to see it come around the way it has, unfortunately, I was like, oh, well. Like, last soapbox thing on this, it's like.
No, go ahead, yeah.
Please. I heard a reporter talking about, like, the Stonewall and Pride movement back in the 60s and 70s. And they referred to how it was gay men and lesbians and drag queens, you know, leading the way. And that really, you know, the drag queens wasn't, the trans people weren't drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
They were termed that at times, of course, by law enforcement and government authorities. But they, like Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson, were trans women. They were trans sex workers, they happened to be. And I love Marsha. She'd say the P was Pay No Mind Johnson, Marsha Pay No Mind Johnson. But that shorthanding, you know, to just make it, you know, to say, oh, it was, you know, gay men and lesbian and drag queens. And it just drove me nuts, because it's lazy reporting.
It's not interchangeable. They're not.
What is the biggest threat to trans culture? What is the biggest issue you're dealing with today?
To me, it's the way they're attacking trans kids. I'm mature. My hide is tough. I can take it. Mm-hmm. Trans kids cannot. They don't have the tools yet to deal with the kind of attacks they're under. I heard a story of a Texas mom. She had three kids, two and one, I can't remember which direction. Then she had her fourth child. And when that fourth child, when around three or four, kind of becoming aware, the little human forms, they become more self-aware.
Right.
She's like, born a biological boy, I'm a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, she had no experience for this. She's like, just no one, as they use the term now, groomed her, indoctrinated her. This little girl, just that's the way she was born. And it, and when someone like her is attacked, it drives me nuts. Because, they try and make it like there's this thing that people are doing to these children when it's so far from the truth. Last little bit on this is, so this is when the Texas laws are coming down, or regulations about, child abuse if you do gender affirming care for your kid. And the mom is driving and the 4 or 5 year old's in the back seat, and the mom is talking to someone who's asking her, could she have the little girl talk at a hearing about, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, the mom asks the little girl about this, and then she hears the voice from the back, because it's about no medical care for the gender affirming for the kids. And the little girl says from the back, "Mommy, am I going to die?" Ripped my heart out. Because of the fact that this is something, when they are attacking somebody like that, it's just indecent. So that's what I think is the biggest threat to the trans community, is the way they're attacking the young trans kids. Stuff like not being able to do anything before you're 18 is coming down in a lot of the proposed laws right now. And if you want to see suicide rates and self-harm go up in the trans youth community, pass those laws. Sorry.
No, that's a very well put. I nobody should attack a child. That there's nothing to attack there. And as a straight cis man, I will admit that a lot of things are confusing, but we need to talk through the confusion. And
they can't just assume that the kid is like confused or something. The kids know, like they're aware of where they're lying, and they're not lying like what, where their gender lies, is what I was trying to say. I'm sorry, I got it mixed up. They can feel what they are. They know deep down that this is something different for them, and that people just want to sort of wash away their opinions because they're young, and that's not fair to them.
Yeah, and there's so many, the American Pediatric Association, they've developed and researched and developed guidelines and treatment and everything that has to happen in order for, a young person to transition. It's just, there's so many guardrails as it is. But you know how it is at times. When people are going to demagogue, they're going to ignore the science of it, the truth of it, the facts, and they're just going to demagogue on the biggest fear that they can poke at a parent. Last thing on this is,
especially in Texas, that's gotta be the worst place to be.
Yeah. Literally this woman was trying to get, this story I just told, they were trying to get advice on what they could and couldn't do. And did they need to move? But the last thing on this I'll talk about is, it's when a child is born, the parents, of course, their biggest thing is, do they have 10 fingers? Do they have 10 toes? Do they have 2 eyes, or do they have 1 eye in the middle of their forehead? And to have that child be whole and safe and intact is just something that is very, very much a parent's, something they want to realize. They don't want their worst fears, for example, to be borne out, that the child doesn't come out, quote, normal. And then you move down the line, and now to think that a child would have the talk, "Mom, Dad, I need to tell you something," kind of talk. And that's a fear of so many parents. So then when some demagogue comes in and starts to stoke that someone else is motivating and grooming that child to be that way, so that then they say, it's not your fault, parent, or it's not something you did, it's someone else who's trying to do that to your child. That fear from the moment that child is born to make sure they're whole and normal and going to have a normal, happy life, so to speak, that's attacked, is very easy to stoke that fear. So I'm sorry, I'm getting off the soapbox.
No, every time you're on, for some reason, we get in a really deep serious discussion. But I do want to say, just on my perspective, I just think, I mean, all of this is just ignorance. I think people are afraid of trans people, of gay people, or anybody. And I'm glad I live where I live in LA, where just everybody's out, they're free. And once you meet and talk to trans people, gay people, anybody, you know, white people, black people, whatever. I mean, once you get to know somebody, you get to know everybody's a human being, and people, trans people, know who they are. And
for sure.
And you know what? And we're all people. We're all the human race. And to divide things and to pass your judgment on what's good on other people, and just, you know, when I'm talking about serious things, I can't do it. But when people divide us by anything is ridiculous.
I want to segue because, of course, you started off with how your fans wanted some filth and fetish and titillation. So
Casey, you're the best. Please transition to filth and fetish and titillation.
But what else do you have for me? Because I know I can tell you prepared very well. I got your questioning has been awesome. I know you've done your homework.
I always do my homework on you. Trust me, I studied you all week. But Casey, before you get into the filth and the titillation, I want to end on that. You're, in a way, transitioning away from the filth and the titillation. You're really putting yourself out for mainstream acting work. And now on YouTube, and I think this is the last correspondence we had before I had booked you on the show. You're like, can you send me the show so I can put it on my mainstream site? You're like a wine connoisseur now. You got a whole wine show on YouTube.
Well, there was a time, you know, in a prior life when I owned a wine shop and bar. And so I, you know, one of my things is when I get into something, I learn everything I can about it. I get very immersed. I want to come from an educated place. I got my training in wine from the Wine and Spirits Education Trust, which is a UK organization. And I went through training and learned about wines and spirits and beers. And then I had the wine shop, and it was actually.
And it was British guys. So I'm sure you taught them a few things too.
Which guys?
I said it was British guys, so I'm sure you taught them a few things too about the bomb and all that.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I'm trying. It's funny though, because my it was actually at the LA Winehouse right over here on Cotner, I believe it is, where I got my training from James King, who's now in Houston teaching. But so I learned, and I had the wine shop and bar, and then during the pandemic, of course, we were all looking for something to do. So I started doing these IG lives. I call it the room temperature white podcast, where I would basically take up a topic, be it, you know, French wine, sake, sipping tequila, you know, labeling of American wines. And I just would do about a 15-minute thingy on it, and then post it on YouTube. And it's, you know, during the pandemic, it was nice to have an outlet, you know, gave me something to do, to research and put these out. So it was a lot of
wine. And drink wine.
And drink wine, I do that anyway. Every night, I have a couple of glasses of wine every single night around 11:30 with dinner. So I'm a wine. It doesn't matter if I was doing that or not. I'm a wino. I love to relax. Sometimes I'll get these questions, you know, from clients. Do you PNP, party and play? You know, because they want to do drugs, you know, of some sort. If it's cocaine or smoking, and I don't. I say wine is my drug. Years past, I've done, you know, I did all your psychedelics and all the speed and mask and shrooms and all that when I was a college person, a little after that. But ever since then, wine has been my go-to relaxing.
Right.
So yeah, I don't do drugs either. I just drink. I usually have 2 to 3 drinks when I'm out socially. If I'm around the house, I might have a glass of wine, or I was drinking alcoholic eggnog for the season. Like, I take a little bit of Fireball and I mix with some vegan eggnog. I just like relax in my apartment and watch a movie.
And Casey, tell Nicole how wine affects women differently.
How wine affects women differently? Yes, I believe it's a gene which they'll get a little more buzz from less of an alcoholic beverage than a man will. It just affects women a little harder than it does men. That was funny because that was the same IG Live or Room Temperature White Hotcast where I talked about how in ancient Greece, if a man caught a woman drinking, his wife drinking wine without him, he was able to put her to death.
Jesus.
You know that, Nicole?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I'm glad you were in ancient Greece.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, I did my wine shows, you know, with a fun fact. I always try and pick a fun fact of something about, you know, like the fact that here's another one.
Like murder, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, vodka weighs less than water. If you know the volume of vodka versus a volume of water, the water will weigh a little bit more than the vodka. You know, those are the kind of things, those little quirky things you
really. Why is that? You
know, I can't remember exactly why, but it's a fact.
Now wait a second. Now, if wine affects women more than men, and you are a T-girl, how does it affect T-girls?
That's a good question. I can hold my liquor. There are certain things you don't shed, or most of us don't shed when we transition. I always joke that men generally identify success in life with our jobs. You know, we think if we're not doing successful at work, men, we generally are downcast. You know, there's a pall over us, and women are a lot better with not equating success in work with success in life or being happy. But that's something I haven't been able to shed. I've carried that trait over. I try sometimes, but if I'm having bad business time, I get in a funk. It's one of those things, you know.
Well, with your bad business time, that's different from some guy in the office or somebody. It's not like, oh, I didn't get my quota. It's like, oh, geez, it's, you know, this guy wants me to bust their balls.
Oh, man.
Try busting their balls. You know what it is? They want the pain. They equate the pain with the pleasure. Some people like to get their nipples really twisted. Some people like biting. Some people like getting fucked in the ass. And some people like getting their balls busted. To me, what I've always thought weird about that, and I've asked a couple of doms on the show, and they, how does it work after that?
It's funny you say that, because one of the things, because when you're meeting a client for the first time, there's a lot of boundary checking, but also just finding out what they're into. And like nipples is one of my big things of finding out, do they get a lot of pleasure from having their nipples played with? A little? Some people, you touch their nipples, some men, you touch their nipples, and they just are aroused completely, getting hard, pre-cum, all of that right away. Others, it's a sensual thing. They like the feel of someone playing and licking their nipples, but that's it. So there's others, they really want you to bite on them and chew on them. So you're engaging so much of
titty twisters, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's also this tipping point, though, I think I've learned about, where someone might think they want their nipples really chewed on and pinched. And then there's that tipping point where then it's too much. And then they can't take it. You know, they're like, more and more and more. And then suddenly it's like, no, 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 stop, stop, stop. So there is definitely, for most, there's a tipping point of when too much pressure or pain is too much and it's no longer pleasurable.
Right. So maybe you start light with the balls. You hit them with a pillow. Then you hit them with, you know, you hit them, you know, you just spank them lightly or you pat them. And then, you know, yeah, oh, yeah, a little bit of that. You juggle them a little bit, squeeze them a little bit. And then if they can take it, you take that high heel and boom. Because you do dom sessions too. And besides the ball busting, have you ever like figged anybody or done really crazy stuff like that?
I caught you said crazy stuff like that. What was
like figging or
what is figging? See, this is a learning one for me. I don't know figging.
Oh, see, this is why I love this show, because I've learned so many things. I didn't know about sounding. Have you ever sounded somebody?
No. Again, being the T-girl and having the same plumbing, one of those things,
scary. We're just talking about it. And Nicole, you know what sounding is, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, here's an education. Do you know what figging is?
No.
So one of the great things about having a podcast, I learned what sounding is and what figging is. Sounding, I found out from our friend, Xavier Axelson.
Okay.
Which I'm sure comes as no surprise. Sounding is when you insert something into the urethra.
Oh, I do remember this. I remember this.
Yes, yes. So, ooh. Now, figging, I found, I believe, maybe Mr. Cyan told me about it, one of the DOMs that we've had on the show. It's when you take a ginger root, you peel it, and you shape it into a shape of a dildo, and you shove it up somebody's ass, a red hot ginger root.
Wow.
And see how much they can take it.
Wow.
That's called figging. And I have to remember who told me about that, but boy, that was another one. Like, whoa, wow. Somebody actually thought that up. Both of those. Somebody actually said, you know what? You know what would be pleasurable? Somebody sticking something in my urethra and then sticking a red hot ginger root up my ass.
Wow.
Damn.
And you know what? I'm vanilla. I like penis and vagina, and I don't get that enough. I get it so rarely that I just love that. But, you know, that's just me.
It's funny because, like, for you mentioned that. I've never heard of that. Because, like, I have a client or two, they love prostate massage. And that, I get very, I'm very cautious because I never want to hurt somebody. I'm always so afraid. Because remember.
Especially with those nails.
There you go. And also, 911 is not my friend. Remember that. It's always in the back of my mind. 911 is not my friend. And mm-hmm. I'm always worried about hurting someone. So when I have a latex glove on and I'm in there massaging that prostate, it freaks me out because I'm always thinking, oh gosh. Because they're loving it. You know, they're just, you know, I could tell when someone's really turned on by it. But as the, you know, the person who's...
They don't need anybody giddy, that's for sure.
No. They definitely don't. So it's one of those things. So then when you talk about the ginger root, that just, ooh, that's crazy.
Ooh, no, it all like kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. But that's, I'm vanilla, you know, I like a little spank and tickle, a little slap and tickle once in a while. But yeah, I like penis goes into the vagina. I like that. I find pleasure in that. That's just me. I'm weird like that. Casey, Nicole, how awesome is Casey? I'm telling you.
Oh, super fun.
We got to have, probably February, March, we're going to have, well, maybe we'll do it at the convention. We'll do a live show with you and Eddie. I'm going to try to put that together.
That would be awesome. I love Eddie. Eddie's a great personality. He really is just like, I saw him yesterday and because I hadn't seen him since the pandemic, I believe. In person.
Right.
And he's just the same old, very ebullient and upbeat, nice guy. And I hear that he's going to get a very special award at the Transgender Erotica Awards this year too. So he's definitely a little inside baseball, but that's as far as I can go. So he's up for something big coming up. And I think the show, TEA, is always like mid-March, and I feel like it's the 13th, 14th, whatever that weekend of March is when the TEAs is going to be this year.
And how is Eddie's pussy? I just want to know.
What was that?
I said, how is Eddie's pussy? I just want to know. Nice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes memories that just are like imprinted on your mind. I just, mm-hmm. I can so clearly remember being in that hotel room with him and Kristen and us playing with each other. It's just like, I go back there like that, you know, just in my mind. And once I actually just posted a photo on Twitter today, cause I saw Eddie yesterday we did a little bit of, kind of a Mrs. Robinson, The Graduate thing. We were able to film a scene where he is laying in bed with his back against the headboard. I'm standing on the bed. So all you see is my thigh-high stocking legs and my panties. So basically the waist down. And the shot is from behind me and he's between my legs in the background while I'm in the foreground. And, basically, you know, we did that whole kind of thing. This is like he has the miss. What was Dustin Hoffman's name? Like Jeremy, Jacob? Oh, I can't remember what his name
was. I forget the name, but it's Mrs. Robinson. You're trying to seduce.
Oh, exactly. And so there's that great photo of that. That's from that, you know, stealing that imagery from that scene. And then in the scene, what I actually do then is I pull the panties down, and then of course his face changes again. So good time.
And nice. And last time Casey was on, she was on with Michael Simmons. And I know how you like to wear stockings, and you have great legs. And I mean, it's so great that I'm going out of focus. I'm just thinking about it. And Michael was very impressed with your legs and your choice of stockings. And we'll have to get into that next time, because we're running out of time. But before we go, because I was going to say, I saw Eddie in a scene with the, I can't her name. We had her on the show. And as I said, she was, she had a dick, he had a pussy. It was amazing. It was the craziest. It was the wildest heterosexual sex I've ever seen in my life.
Was it Domino Presley?
No. Latin woman. I forget her name, but she's beautiful. And the one with the eyes above the stomach, well, I forget her name, but it was amazing. But before we go, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we go, and before I, my webcam's doing weird stuff. Before we go, one more fetishy, erotic, you teased it. Fetishy, naughty, erotic story from you. I've got to hear one.
I don't think I've told this one on your show before. I think where it was, let me check. When I was someone who wanted to do the cannibal fetish, did I tell you that one?
No. Nicole loves cannibalism. Let's hear this.
Okay.
I hate cannibalism, but the act of cannibal and sexual nature is not eating each other. It's different.
Yes, it's something like vorophilia. It's like, I'm going to miss, it's like vorophilia or something like that. It's cannibal fetishism. And it basically is where the fantasy is, this gentleman wanted me to come to his hotel room. And unbeknownst to me, he wanted to eat me. And so he's doing double entendre kind of things. Oh, you look delicious. Oh, you're so scrumptious. And basically,
I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry.
I'm starving.
I come to the realization that, of course, now he wants to really and truly eat me. So then I'm like, oh, you don't want to eat me. Look at me. I have no meat on my bones. I'm so skinny. You want a more plump, voluptuous team. And then he proceeded to then put me on top of the table, surround me with vegetables, garnish, like a duck or a turkey, you know, carrots and celery and onions and all that. And then, you know, lube me up with oil. And that's the fetish. But he was, you know, of course, he doesn't truly want to eat me. But it's that whole, you know, fantasy of
all the piece of carrots got him full.
He definitely wanted to use the carrots on me, that's for sure. that one, I will tell you, think about this. That one took a lot of leap of faith and research from me to make sure he was truly someone who wasn't gonna really try and eat me or do anything untoward toward me.
Yeah.
That was
a big leap of faith.
Did you enjoy it?
It was fun. I, you know, as you know, you've seen, I've started to do some mainstream kind of acting things. And so role play is fun. I tell a lot of clients that my thing is to provide you with a safe space to explore your fantasies. Both here in my place, it's a very safe, quiet, discreet kind of place. Mentally, where I can make them feel comfortable that they can explore. And just my approach of, hey, it's okay. Whatever you're into, not always whatever you're into, but in the sense of, I've already know that they're into something that I can accommodate. So I enjoy that caretaker thing of helping them to explore. Because one of the jokes I'll tell is, you know, if a construction worker, you know, he's with a cis girl escort on a Sunday night, and he goes into work the next day and they're having their coffee at the Roach Coach before they start the day. And someone says, what'd you do last night? Oh, I was with this hot babe prostitute. It was awesome. But if they were with a T-girl escort, what they would say was, what a game. Wasn't it a great football game last night? So, you know, I know the norms of society that I can give these guys that kind of place because they can't tell anyone else about their fantasies or what they want to try. And so I give them that opportunity and that makes me happy to do that.
Well,
face the rent too.
Exactly. Well, you can, the secrets you have and the stories you tell and the life you live. Casey, I am so glad we reconnected. And I'm always happy to talk to you, whether my webcam knows it or not. Casey, tell everybody what you got going on, how people get a hold of you, and anything you want to promote, let me know.
Sure. The few places you can find me, my biggest social communication for those who are into the fetishistic porn stuff is on Twitter, and that's at KCTSDate, KACYTSDATE. On Instagram, which is my vanilla feed, is at the real KCT. So that's TheRealKACYT. I have that one as vanilla because Instagram loves to throw off anyone who's transgender and does adult stuff. And for my mainstream stuff, through my agency, which tried to get me like music videos and commercial gigs, they said you have to have a completely vanilla Instagram. So they can find me there for what's going on in my mainstream gigs. OnlyFans, very simple, OnlyFans.com/KCTGirl, KACYTGIRL. So those, I think, are all the places on that.
I don't know about the OnlyFans. I do know about the Instagram, but I will tell you, Twitter, there's some good photos. There's some spicy content, and it's a lot of fun. And Casey, you were so much fun. It's so great to connect with you. And now that this pandemic's over, I can't wait to see you in person. And I can't wait to either have you in studio or, see you at the convention. Or, you and Eddie or whatever. I can't wait to say hi and give you a big hug.
Always a pleasure. It was a pleasure to meet you, Nicole. And anytime you need me or need anything from me, you can reach out. And if I can make it happen, I will.
Well, actually, it's funny you should mention that. Next week, I need a ball busting. So please, Nicole, tell everybody how they can get your poetry book, Slow Burn, and everything you have going on.
Well, you can go to my Instagram at Nicole6Books, and I have a link for it in my bio, or my Facebook, Nicole H6, where I also have a link to it in my bio.
Nicole, 2023 is off to a great start, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And you can follow me on Goth Comedian. I'm on Twitter on Goth Comedian. There's nothing that spicy there, but maybe after this show, I'll throw a dick pic once in a while. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.